I think I should be charged up now. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ, as was mentioned earlier. What a blessing it is to have visitors who have come our way. We are also thankful for our members who are here today. The visitors, thank you also for helping us have an even better Lord's Day. We do want to say that there are a few things I want to bring to your attention, some that may not have been mentioned, some you may not be aware of, or one correction. Today is going to be a great day. It's already been a great day because it's the Lord's Day. But even after services, after you get your bellies full a little bit, you're going to come back up here, I hope. It's going to be great. 3 to 5, hang out with some great people, eat food. I mean, who doesn't like that, you know? And then at 5 o'clock, we're going to eat again. We'll have snacks, but I believe it was mentioned at 6, but that meal will be at 5, okay? Worship will begin at 6, so please come back. Be here. It's going to be great. Thank you, Justin, and your crew, Ashley, and your crew who have helped put all this together. It's going to be a great day. Make Me a Storm. Interesting title, interesting theme. That will be what we talk about tonight. It's been assigned for their area-wide. So, make plans for that. Secondly, we want to remember all of the men and women who are serving us in the military. We want to pray for those who are first responders, those who are putting themselves in harm's way every day. But especially I want to ask you to add Chaz Carpenter to your prayer list. Chaz has been accepted to go into the Marine Corps. And Chaz, we appreciate that. But on August the 11th, he will be, no, September the 11th. Is it past August the 11th now? September the 11th. Wow, what a unique day, too, to go into it. September the 11th, Chaz will be heading off to basic training. So please pray for him and their family. Got some other good news to share with you today. We've had some folks that have been visiting with us a while that have decided today's the day they want to take the visitor hat off and they want to be members. Not sideline members, ones that plug in and play. And the first young lady I'll give you today is sitting up here almost on the front row. I like that about her already. I've gotten to know Sister Linda Carr for just the last several weeks. She's a beautiful soul. She not only is very talented, if you ever become friends with her on Facebook, you will see the beauty from her photography skills. She is great. She's gifted. She's just got a lot of things that she can bring to us. But she said today, she's ready. She loves it here. And we love her. But Sister Linda Carr, if you would please stand where you are. Welcome to Azalea City Church of Christ. That's not all. That's not all. That would make it a great day right there, though, wouldn't it? We have another family that has said enough is enough, visiting's enough. We're ready to roll our sleeves up and go to work. And they are also very gifted and very talented. They come to us just with a lot of experience, a lot of opportunities to plug in immediately and go to work. And that is Mark and Katie Aldred. Mark and Katie are sitting over here to my right. I'm going to ask Mark to stand up and Katie quickly to stand up. Okay? All right. Mark and Katie are very special, just like Sister Linda, and I am so excited. I mean, I couldn't hardly sleep last night. That's why I'm yawning a little bit, Steve, when you were singing. It's not because of the songs, but tired, but I am ready to be here. What a great day. I'm excited about what's going on here at Azalea City. But you think that's it? That's not it. We've got another special person who is here for the very first time. Noah Sherman is here today. And Noah's coming up here, and I'm going to show him off to everybody. Papa Cody's coming. I have held Noah before, and it went well last time. We'll see how it goes this time. Come on, big boy. Look-a-here. They all like the lights. Can y'all see over there? Isn't this a good-looking fella? Well, we certainly are proud. You and Brittany and Noah, your family is so sweet. And thank you very much for bringing him here. Welcome, buddy.
Got it.
It's always my nervous part, handing him back.
Got it. Okay.
Wow, that's great. That's great. A lot of exciting people. A lot of exciting things going on. It's time to get off the sidelines. It's time, like we said last week, to go to work. We've got a lot of people who are workers here. We've got a lot of great servants, and we just want to keep encouraging us. Great things going on. Babies being born, people placing membership, visitors coming our way. Great, great things. There's a place for everybody. And today we're going to talk about our faith. George, who had to leave, they had to get to Pensacola. But he taught in class this morning, and it was really handy. We didn't talk before. I didn't know what he was going to talk on. But he talked about fear versus faith, really. He especially referenced that once in his class. And today I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about where is your faith, where is my faith. Now listen, faith is something that's very, very critical to us because the Bible says, and please hear this, not Terry, not anybody else, but God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired the writer to say this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? Did you hear that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm all about pleasing God. That's what I want to do. That's where we're here, right? Do we disappoint God? Certainly. He understands that. We have His amazing grace that will help, but we don't rely on that grace, as Bill's been teaching us, to see how far we can get to the line. That's a terrible way to look at Christianity. In fact, that's a way that doesn't please God. You see, when we're in the light, we're walking in the light, we're wanting to do everything we can to please our Father. So I want you today to examine yourselves. Listen, sermon time to me. There are times that people obey the gospel. There are times that people respond. But you know what? We're not out in the streets. We're not bringing them in through the sermon per se, but this is a rally. This is what I'm trying to tell you today are words that will help you, will encourage you, will challenge you, not just you, but me as well. And when we look at these words and we challenge ourselves, there may be some things we want to change. There may be some things we need to change by coming up here. There may be some things we need to do in our seats. But here's the point. I want us to grow. The elders want us to grow. But that's not who matters ultimately. It's God. God wants us to grow. So I want to ask you today, what is growth? Got off a little bit there in the transition, but that's okay. You can read it maybe behind the arrow. What is growth? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Here's what Peter says about growth. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Did you hear what Peter said? He said, if I'm going to grow, if we are going to grow, then we have to put away some things. Paul said put away childish things in 1 Corinthians 13. When he became a man, he put away childish things. We've got to put away childish acts. A good test of are you maturing in your faith? Am I maturing in my faith? What makes us mad? What hurts our feelings? Listen. I have feelings, and I have nerves, and I've had people walk all over both of them, okay? You know, I've told my children, you know, I've got nerves, and you're on every one of them, okay? But we also have feelings, and sometimes people can get all over them. But But let me, and words do hurt. I understand all that. I'm not saying they do not. But let me ask you this. What makes us hurt? What makes us mad? Is it something that really in the grand scheme of life doesn't matter? If something is so minute and so petty and so just silly, and you've been hurt and stayed away from God, folks, let me say this, then we're not maturing in our faith. That's rubber meets the road, okay? It's being real. As Sister Carlotta reminded us, we don't apologize for the truth. Okay, in class this morning, that was a comment. We're not going to apologize for saying that. But where it comes down to, what have I put away? Malice? Have I put away deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking? All these petty things, these childish things. And now am I growing? Am I desiring? You see, that's what growth is. But I want you to see something here in verse 1. There's the word therefore. So, we look and back and see why that word is there, okay? Look back at 1 Peter chapter 1 now, verses 6 through 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, as that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Growing is getting rid of sin. Okay? Listen, I'm not saying when we become Christians, you know this, you know where I stand on this, but when we become Christians, we're not just done away with sin all. I mean, temptations are going to come our way. The past sins are gone, but temptations are going to come. We're going to fall. We're going to sin. I'm not talking about everyday struggles. I'm talking about we keep going back and willfully sinning and willfully slipping and falling and falling and falling, and we never get up and we never get better. Okay? If we haven't put away that sin, then we need to start today and grow. We need to do it. We just need to cast it away so that we can be what God wants us to be. So growing is getting rid of sin. Growing is also desiring the Word of God, which we talked about. Folks, I'm just going to tell you right now, if we're not in our Bibles, then we're not growing. If you're asking yourself, hey, well, maybe I do get mad at this, and you're trying to test yourself, let me do this test. Are you in the Word of God? If you're not in the Word of God, I can tell you the answer to your test, you're not growing. I'm not growing. That's not Terry making it up, so I'm not going to apologize over it. That's God who said, what? We need to grow by the Word. What is we're taught in the Scriptures? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We've got to be in the book. So growth is getting rid of sin, desiring the Word. But then it also comes by growing in faith. So that leads to the next question. What is faith, really? Well, Bo read to us from Hebrews chapter 11. Brother Robert was hoping these didn't get off, but they got off, Brother Robert. Sorry. You may not be able to see it there, but Hebrews 11, verse 1, we'll read verses 1 and 3 again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Let's talk about faith for a moment. What is faith? All right, we hear the definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means by saying what it's not. Faith is not the power of positive thinking. Okay? Listen, you might think, well, if I just think positive, I'm going to have faith. That's not what faith is. That's maybe confidence in yourself. That may be positive thinking, but that's not faith. You might be the most positive person on the planet and have the weakest faith on the planet. Okay? Faith is not whipping yourself up into believing the unbelievable. Okay? Hey man, I'm going to believe that no matter what. Just, I'm going to believe in the unbelievable. That's not necessarily it. And it's not just a thought or just a belief. You see, that's not just faith. Faith is what motivates us to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Faith is what motivates us to not have to ask the question, do I have to go to worship? Well, do we really need to go to Bible study today? Do we really need to come back on Wednesday night? Do my children really need to be involved? Do I really have to, you know, go to all these activities and be a part of these? When we have the faith we need, now again, there are times that things come up, I understand that. But when we have the faith we need, or we're supposed to have, or we're growing in our faith, those are not questions anymore. We want to do it. We want to be a part. We want to be involved. We want to be what God wants us to be. You see, that's what God wants us to understand. We can't earn salvation. We can't. It's a free gift. It's unmerited favor. Getting something we didn't do any merits to deserve. But it does take an active faith for us to inherit that salvation. That is something important for us to understand. We must be faithful people that's full of faith. But we cannot do that if we're not maturing in Christ. You need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, am I growing? Am I maturing in my faith? To illustrate this, let's turn to Luke 5. I don't know why it's all black too, Brother Robert, but thank you for all you do. I don't mean that criticizing. But Luke 5, 1 through 11. Let's look at the text here. This is important scripture. I love this scripture. This is Jesus teaching about faith. Luke 5, beginning in verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he, that's Jesus Christ, stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. They'd given up. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now there are some lessons in faith in this passage. And I want us to go through those lessons. The first lesson I want you to see is this. It says on my screen, they've given up. I tell you what, Brother Robert, why don't you just take it down? Just take it down. And that way we'll just tune in, maybe. They had given up, okay? They'd thrown the white flag. The white flag means I surrender. I want you to look back at the verse now in verse 2. Did you see what it said? Did you catch this? And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Okay, they're washing their nets. You know what that means? We'll try it again later. I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, when it comes to weak faith, when it comes to not maturing in our faith, you know what happens when going gets tough? People give up. They give up. They say, enough is enough. I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. Now, let me say, folks, if we give up, we're not just giving up Sunday morning services. We're not giving up Sunday school. We're not giving up Wednesday night. We are giving up salvation. There is a lot more to giving up than just saying, hey, I'm not going to just go to church anymore. We're giving our soul up. Now, I understand Peter and John and James, Peter and James and John and them, they are trying to get their, probably, you know, fishermen, they've got to rally together. They've got to go out and do it again. But on this day, they're defeated. There's coming something in our lives. I don't know if it's happening to you now. I don't know if it's going to happen to you next week. I don't know if it's happened to you or next year or whenever. But there's coming something that's going to rattle the foundations of our faith. That's not me. That's Jesus who said that. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have things go on. But guess what? He said, I've overcome the world. But he told us, he said, things are going to rattle your cage or rattle your foundation. If you have a pet and that cage gets rattled too much back and forth, it's a bird or whatever it may be. If it gets rattled too much, okay, that bird eventually will die. If our faith gets rattled too much, our soul will eventually die if we are not growing in our faith. You know what happens when I mature in my faith? Things that the devil used to be able to try to get me to give up, they don't affect me as much anymore. Oh, it hurts when somebody says, by the way, thank you, Brother Robert, Brother Claude, whoever else is up there. It's back on there. When our faith is rattled and we're maturing, things that used to maybe be major to us, they're not major anymore. We're not majoring in the minors. You know, listen, I'm sure there are people who quit church because the preacher didn't call them. Or maybe an elder didn't visit them. There are people that have just said, you know, enough is enough. I'm tired of it. I'm going to hold them all hostage because my faith didn't grow. Listen, I am telling you right now, if you expect me to be perfect, then I need to resign. I am going to miss a call. I am going to miss a visit. I am going to miss a text. I am going to miss a however we're going to communicate. There are going to be days when I mess up. I am not telling you that to say, overlook it. I am trying to hold myself to the fire, but I'm a human being and I will mess up, and the elders will too. They are great men, but they are human men who are busy men. They are going to mess up. But when my faith is maturing, I can get past that. Does that make sense? When I am growing my faith, I don't give up so easy. Churches attendance sheets are full of people that gave up easy. I'm going to tell you, they gave up easy because their faith and maturity in Christ didn't happen. Let's not let it happen to us. You want to close the back door? Let's mature our faith. Let's mature our lives. So what do we do? How do we do it? How do I not give up, Terry? You told me about giving up. Well, the Scriptures are going to let us know. The first thing we need to do, we need to get on board. We need to let somebody else on board. And that's Jesus Christ. I want you to look now in verse 3. Then he got into one of the boats. By the way, it just happened to be Simon's, didn't it? Christ doesn't do anything by happen chance. Okay? He got in Peter's boat. We've got to let Jesus on board. Now that sounds easy. That sounds like, duh. You know, no kidding. We know Jesus needs to be on board. But how, but practically, are we allowing God on board, in charge of our lives every single day? Are we? Are we letting Him in every single day? Because it says, take up your cross daily and follow Him. Tomorrow will be a work day for many people. You'll get up and you'll go to work. Are you going to grab your lunchbox? Probably so. You're going to grab your wallet? Probably so. You're going to grab whatever card you have to get into the door? Probably so. You're going to grab a cell phone? Probably so. Are we going to take up the cross? If I don't, then don't expect me to mature. Or expect me to mature slower. Folks, it's about putting God first. Getting God on board in our life. You know what those disciples needed that day? They didn't need a lecture. They needed Jesus. A lecture wasn't going to do them much good. But Jesus Christ was going to do them a world of good. So the question today is this. Have you given up? Do you know somebody who's given up? Well, let's get them on board with Jesus. How do we do that? That's sometimes a challenge. Because we've got to be willing to do it. Others have to be willing to let us be able to encourage them to do it. So today, we can't give up anymore. We've got to grow our faith. Then we've got to get on board. We've got to allow Christ on board in our lives. Okay? But then the next point we need to understand is we just need to go deep sometimes. You know, when I was a little boy, I loved Superman. I really did. But it used to always bother me, why didn't Superman play sports? I mean, think about how good he would have been. You've got Superman out at X receiver, okay? He's out at wide receiver. And you're playing quarterback. All you have to do is throw it up. You know, you throw up this prayer, some will say. But you know, it's not a prayer with him, it's reality. He's going to run under it. Well, let me tell you, folks, we don't have Superman to go out in our... But we've got Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to be on our team. If he's on board. Now, what is go deep? You see that play there? That's what we would call four goes or four verticals, okay? Every receiver is going deep. That you would run that play when you are down and you just need a prayer, okay? But I want you to look back at verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter's response is like, okay, if you say so. But I am going to add this into Peter's thoughts. I have no idea if this is what he was thinking. But the way Terry kind of sees it is this. I know how to fish, man. I do this for a living. And I'm telling you right now, the fish aren't biting. The fish aren't there. Okay? He didn't have GPS and fish finders and all this stuff, right? He's just, I know the conditions, I know the waters. It's not good. That's why we're washing these nets. But he was polite, and he said, if you said so, we'll go. Jesus said, go long. Go deep. I'm playing quarterback, and we're about to score. That's what he said. He said, you want to mature your faith? You want to grow? Then trust me. Trust me. Do we trust Jesus? Either we do or we don't. Either we believe it or we don't. He said in Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you. And listen to this. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. We either believe it or we don't. He's either with me or He's not. Jesus said, go long. Go deep. Sometimes, you know what it takes to grow? We've got to quit holding on to it. Sometimes people have quit church because they've held on to things. They've quit God because they've held on to things. So-and-so, 38 years ago, said something to me, and I'll just never forget it. Really? Just truth serum time, okay? I've drank the truth serum. I've had people hurt my feelings, folks. I have. I've had people that, you know, sometimes I may have done something, said something. I've got foot and mouth syndrome as bad as anybody sometimes. I've had people hurt. If I would have quit God the first time somebody hurt my feelings, I'd have left a long time ago. Just being real. Elders probably would say the same thing. But we can't hold on to past. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to come out of the shallow faith that you have, out of the shallow water that you have, wash your nets, and give up. That's what he wants. But here's what Jesus is saying. Get back in the boat. Get those nets back out. And dig deep. Dig deep. Well, what happens when they dig deep? Amazing, they grow. Their nets grew. It grew so much that they said, hey man, get over here. We need your help. And they start filling both boats up with all these fish, and it's sinking the boats. All because Jesus is on board and he said, trust me. And they did. And now Peter has a moment, doesn't he? Oh, get away from me. He realizes, I am unclean. I am wrong. I have been a hurt and a shame to you. But Jesus tells him, Peter, we're done catching fish. We're going to catch men. Because I've got you right where I want you. You see, sometimes when we face the man or woman in the mirror, we might realize that, oh, wow, that's been ridiculous. Yeah, I was wrong there. Oh, I can't go back because I've got, oh, it's just too much. I've been away. I've done this. I've done that. I can't go. But here's what Jesus is saying. We're done with that. If you will come, if you will make it right, if you will repent, I'm done with that. Now let's move on to catching men. To catching souls. In conclusion, I want to play the game, what if? What if? What if they had quit? After this, was their faith tested after this moment? Yes! They forsook all they had to follow Jesus. You think there were times when Peter wondered how we're going to eat today? You think there were times when they got discouraged, when they got down? Yes, I know. We can see it in the Bible. But what if they had given up? You know what it would have done? It would have changed the course of Christianity. When Peter denied Jesus Christ, if his faith would not have matured, he might have been in the same boat as Judas. He might have never got over that. He was depressed in John 21, folks. I'm telling you. It doesn't say it there, but you can read it. He didn't know. He was just ready to go fishing and take his mind off of things. He didn't know what to do until Jesus said, I want to have breakfast with you. That's why they singled him out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Peter needs to hear this. But what if? What if Peter would have not matured in his faith? He'd have said, okay, that's enough, and he'd have quit. Then he wouldn't have stood up in Acts chapter 2. And he wouldn't have preached the gospel. And 3,000 souls wouldn't have been obedient to the gospel. He wouldn't have stood with John when they breathed threats in his face in Acts 4 and said, listen, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than man, you be the judge. But we can't help but talk about Jesus Christ. Do you think the devil attacked them? I know he did. They were severely threatened. Don't teach in the name of Jesus again. We give up for far less than that sometimes. But it's because our faith is not maturing. So as we get ready to close, we need to ask ourselves some real questions. How's my faith? Has my faith grown since last week? I can't answer these questions, by the way. You have to answer them. Has my faith grown since last week? Well, last week wasn't that long ago. Okay. Has my faith grown since last month? Has my faith grown since last year? Has my faith grown in the last 10 years? I can't answer these questions, but only you can. And if the answer is no, I'm not maturing in my faith, then it's time to make a change. Because if not, we're going to be weak, we're going to be vulnerable, and we might be the ones sitting there washing our nets, throwing the white flag. I surrender. Instead of surrendering to the world, why don't you surrender to Jesus Christ? Today, let's give it up. Let's give up our lives. Let's give up our bodies. Let's give up our past. Let's give up our souls. Give it away from the world and give it to Jesus Christ. Today, if you need to become a child of the King, I can't think of a greater time to do it. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Let's be obedient to the gospel. Or if you need to make some things right, now's the time. And we encourage all to do that as together we stand and sing.